Merħba l-program Mieħor Mużajk, meċi minni Rodrik Vassallo, fl-imkimma Mattias Karwana l-lum. Kif għanna Mattias,
right? Alright, alright.
Tajjeb, dan id-disa program, missensi la Mużajk imtella minn Krea, Committee on Race and Ethnic Affairs tal-Università ta' Malta, se nkunu għet niltaqaw ma' xie studenti, student actually, u staff ukoll, membru tal-istaff tal-Università. Internazjonali, ċiri ġejjin minn pajjiżi il-bogħod immensament, nkunu nafok ta' dwarhom dat. In fact, to accommodate our guests, we're going to switch completely our program in English from now on. Mattias.
Joining us today we have Walid, a second year medical student who is from Kuwait, who is currently the vice president of the International Student Association and also the president of TERDAI, a university media organization. Also with us we have Shutsi, a Chinese, she's Chinese, she studied business management here at the University of Malta and now works within the communication office here at the same university.
Welcome, both of you.
Thank you
for having us.
All right, Walid is a little bit nervous, so can we kind of be gentle with
you? Yes, maybe you can start introducing him with yourself.
Well, you know you're an international student, would they skip your surname? This is something that happens a lot.
I decided to stick to the first names because they're both easier to pronounce.
So, since
am I the nervous one here?
Yeah, bravo, Walid. since this is about cultures and different languages and names, and Walid, what is your full name, nicely and beautifully?
Oh, okay. That was a surprising question. So my name is Walid Khalid Fahad Sulaiman Al-Huwaishal. And it is one of the shortest names in Arabic, so.
Okay. It is almost the equivalent of a Spanish name and the Portuguese name.
Yes, because we have the father and the grandfather. But what's happened is, after the grandfather, we lost contact of what's the name, right? that's why it's short.
It was truncated. Otherwise,
so you have a missing name.
Yes, thank you. We had a missing name. lucky for you.
All right, so Walid, can you tell us where you are coming from?
I'm from Kuwait. Mm-hmm. As Matthias said, I'm a second year medical student. I spent four years in the University of Malta because I had to go through 2 years foundation, MP foundation, yes, through the International School of Foundation. Mm-hmm. And now I'm, regarding student activism, I have worked with the National School of Foundation as president, as a co-founder, mm-hmm, and now as a VP. And now I had the opportunity to become the president of TERDAI.
Okay.
And it is, a work in progress, I can say that.
All right. So you're still, you're second year, right?
In
medical. So you have 3 more years to finish the All right,
I already feel old, I know.
We'll get used to you, right?
Not that much.
And you didn't get used to me in 4 years.
We'll definitely get used to you then in another 3 years.
Good. Shutsi, let's focus a little bit on you. Would you tell us a little bit more about you, your full name and your country of origin? A little bit more.
Yes, sure. So my name is Shutsi Chen. I'm coming from central part of China. I came to Malta in 2016 and I started to study at the university since 2018. I fall in love with the University of Malta since 2017. So basically, that's the history of myself.
Okay, so which part? China is ginormous.
Yes.
Which you said you come from central China. So which area? Which I forgot the names of the different parts, what they're called.
Regions
of China you come from.
Well, I'm from Wuhan.
Wuhan, okay, yes. All right. Nice, Wuhan has been quite the center of attention.
Yes,
yes.
It's one of the regions which everybody knows about now.
Yes, and it's quite one of the largest regions, if I'm not mistaken, in China itself as well, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, now we'll get to know a little bit more about you and your traditions.
Maybe we can start a bit about your first few weeks here, both at Malta, at the University of Malta, maybe what you found a bit difficult, what was very welcoming. Feel free to either of you to.
I mean, you can start.
Okay, so for me, the first time when I arrived in Malta, I feel it's totally a different kind of world for me because I used to live the most part of my life in China. I also traveled to Germany, Portugal, Sweden, Switzerland, and Malta is a unique existence for me. Mm-hmm. And when I arrived here, I feel the atmosphere here is kind of similar to what I had in China. People are very friendly and helpful, enthusiastic of helping others. So I like it from the first sight.
Okay, so that was your first impression of Malta then?
Yes, yes.
And maybe your first impression of here, of university, of the campus life?
Yes, sure. So for me, the university, I used to play a game, it's on the cell phone, and I found it's very similar. When I enter one gate, I exit from the other gate, and they are in two different levels. And it makes me feel interesting. On the other hand, I sometimes feel I myself lost in the campus because of the designing of the university.
It's and a bit of an old design.
Yes, although I have been and studied here for a few years, I still feel that I can find something new. Like today, when I entered this building, I saw the sculptures on the wall, mm-hmm. I saw the paintings, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this building is almost a labyrinth, the old building of university.
Yes.
I have been lost.
The first time coming here, I went up the wrong stairs, ended up on the other side, couldn't figure it out.
Completely.
For me, the first time coming here, it was last week actually, I was looking for something and they told me about the Campus FM, and I was like, okay, they told me the direction, they told me go this way, then get up, and you know they're gonna be in front of you. I went up some stairs. I think it was the library stairs, and there was nothing there. And I was like, am I right? And I start walking.
No.
And I found the door, but I was skeptical. Like, okay, am I there? Because it's closed. Am I supposed to talk to someone?
But it has a huge Campus FM.
But it is closed, and they told me it should be open. And then I was like, okay, I'm missing out. Let me leave. They're probably recording something. The last thing they want is someone knocking on the door.
You barging in.
Yes, that's what I thought. So I was just like, okay, let's go out, and that's it.
All right, then you found yourself in the right place at some point.
At some point, yes. I got lost for 15 minutes, but it happened.
That's okay. So what about your first, not 15 minutes, but 15 days in Malta when you arrived here?
Well, it's a different experience because I came here firstly solely for studying, right? The first time I heard about Malta, it was 1 year before I graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. It was a nice story. I was looking. It was the last year I was looking about the country that we can go on scholarship in. And then I had just one of the, I think, the top students in our school went to Malta. And it was like, why would he go to Malta? There's UK, USA, no one ever heard of it. 1 year later, I got accepted into Malta. Just, okay, that's why. And now I went there. And then when I get here in Malta, we go to the International School of Foundation, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And mostly the people are all international, mm-hmm. except, the teachers. The whole student that I know, especially in the medical field, were Kuwaitis and Omanis. Mm-hmm. And there was one Libyan, and I think Indian. Mm-hmm. We got to know each other, and it was usually a tight group. Yeah, tight group, including the international students.
May I ask how big the group was? How many students were you?
Well, we have different streams within the international school, right? But the stream that I was in, it has 20 students in foundation and 20 students and 10 students in pre-foundation at the time. Okay. Now they increased. But at the time, that's only the medical field. There is also, the humanities, the business. I know there's also the tourism, which is new. But we were also, we know each other, and that's only us. Mm-hmm. I don't think I had time to meet with Maltese student until the second year or third year, until the second year in Malta, because we have, it's a new experience. New people, mm-hmm. We're meeting. It's easy to fall behind in your comfort zone, right? Mm-hmm. And with people, and you can speak the language. And our English is not the best, and that's why we go to the international school. I didn't actually meet Maltese students until the second year when I became representative. We had to make effort to get outside.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about living in Malta, the landlords of my apartment were very nice, mm-hmm. and they were from Gozo, and they treated me like a son, and it was really nice to have, your first time away from home. Mm-hmm. So that was my 15 days experience. Mm.
We forgot to ask you, where exactly from Kuwait are you, in Kuwait are you from?
Kuwait is so small, I cannot give you regions, but thank you for trying. Okay. Well, it is, we call it Hawali, it's an area called Junub Sirra Shuhada. All Arabic word, all hearts of us. But in reality, there's no much different except, if you're the very north or very south, which is we don't usually are not because we're near the sea. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you're not from the big city, Kuwaiti city, but you are from a town, I guess. Which makes a difference.
Capital is Kuwait City. That's how small it is. Okay, so, but no, I can say that, I'm more of a city person than, you know, a town person, right? Mm-hmm. We have two different, you know, sections. We have, you know, we call them Hadar and Bedou, but what's the difference is the Hadar is usually more in town, the Bedou is, you know, away and usually in the north or in the south. And we, it is an outdated term because it said that the Bedou is the people who, you know, live in tent, but rarely do you find someone who lives in tent nowadays. Mm-hmm. But they still keep the names, right?
All right, yes.
I'm more, you know, of a city person. We have our small community within the bigger community, but it's still a community, right? Mm-hmm. So from Shuhada, we have a school specifically we go to, mm-hmm. and the people we go to, we know them. So even the people, I mean, one of the older years in MDs mm-hmm. are from, you know, the same place I am from Shuhada, but he went to a different school mm-hmm. near me. So, you know, this is how, you know, small, but, you know, connected.
Yes, yeah. I understand. Malta is extremely small. It's much, much smaller than Kuwait, as you know. And yet, even for us, people coming from different parts of Malta, we can actually understand that there are some differences
indeed.
In the way we, even in the way we speak sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I would expect Kuwait being much larger, also mm-hmm. to have differences, regional differences. Differences, air differences, sometimes even people going to different schools behave differently from each other. And this is what really interests us to explore as well with you. If you can present and help our listeners understand of this wide diversity that human beings have and how, in my eyes, it is beautiful, this diversity, we would have reached kind of the scope of this program. So, for me, it's interesting to hear different names and different pronunciations and about the Bedous and about the town people. I think it's good. So Wuhan is ginormous.
Yes.
Where exactly are you from, and what is peculiar about the place you come from?
Well, so my hometown is, and we have a population around 1.14 million people living in the city. So
I was hoping going to say thousands, because that's how you sort of said million.
Yes.
Scale is different, and somewhat zeros to that number.
And it's busy all the time. And even say the students on campus, there are more than 1 million. So you can feel it's a very activated city and the commercial environment is very advanced. And compared with traveling to Malta, I feel life here on the weekend is very peaceful because most of the shops close on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And on work days, it's as busy as my hometown because the traffic is a bit heavy here. Mm-hmm. But still, I feel that most people, they drive in their own discipline. And when there's something happens, people always willing to help. And one thing impressive me most is that every time when I saw ambulance on the road and everybody just move their cars away mm-hmm. from road and give road to the people, to the patient, I think I was touched for so many times when I saw this scene.
So you actually come from the city of Wuhan, then not just the region, because the region is as we said is
yes, massive. It's a huge region. Yes.
All right. Now,
something we can maybe you touched already about it, Walid, is the international community here at University of Malta. As Roderick previously mentioned, everywhere you go, you're going to find diversity. Maybe you can elaborate more about the diversity here on campus regarding the Asian students.
Yes.
I'm aware there are over 1,300 of them speaking, so I'm quite sure there's quite a lot of nationalities. Maybe you can elaborate a bit on that and maybe what activities are there, whether you meet with other students from other nationalities.
Yes. I would like to share some of my experience when I read the first year of my master program. So I have classmates from Switzerland, from Germany, and from Iran. And although most of my classmates are Maltese, and everyone of them, of course, they speak very fluent English, and sometimes they ask me questions about my own home country and my culture, I feel it's very good. And when we talk about the studies and when we face some difficulties, especially when I read my first diploma in China, the education system is totally different. And the way how our lecturers deliver their courses and give us assignments and the requirements, it's a bit different. So I feel when when I have this problem of the first year, I noticed that some of my other classmates from foreign countries, they have the similar problem. And we talked with each other, and our Maltese friends and the classmates came over to help us. I felt it's very helpful and make me feel easier to get used to the studies here and to learn more about the knowledge and the education system here. So it's good for me. I feel I enjoy it.
If you had to pinpoint, both of you, differences between the education you received from your countries and now the education you're receiving here. You said it's quite different. Shutsu, what is different? Because I think this could be extremely interesting for us to understand.
Well, so for me...
Well, maybe you can start with which one you prefer, and then tell us why.
It's really difficult to say which one I prefer, because each of the system has its own advantages, or like people think it can be improved better. So for me, my personally, I think when I was reading my first diploma in China, the thing I like very much is that every time when we receive an assignment or a project, our student advisor and our lecturers keep very keen touch with us. And they set plan for us. We not only set plan for ourselves, they also set plan for us. They treat us sometimes a bit like children, but in a way, it helped us and keep pushing us to move forward together. So the graduation rate in my university is relatively higher than what I know in Europe. The other thing I feel is good here is that I used to hear so many times from my friends. They always told me, it's your own business. You finish your assignment, you complete your study, and you pass your exam. This is your own business. If you encounter difficulties, you can always ask for help. But please don't count on that. If you keep silent, there will be people approaching you and give you support. You have to be active. I like this very much because the society is like that. So if we have problem, we think about it and we find people who can help us. And this is a different perspective for me, so I like it.
Walid, what I want to say is I agree with her in the pushing and tutoring sites in our home country. I didn't have the experience of undergraduate, degree because my first undergraduate that I'm going through, I'm still part of it, and it's in Malta. But I have a brother who's also studying medicine in Bahrain, and I have seen, how they're teaching, how the things is going on. So one big part of it is tutoring and, what's called student community, stuff like that. What happened is usually they learn from the teacher, but, they also have tutors who teach them specific subjects that's out of university. So for some, they might say that it's much easier, much linear. But for me, I found it more interesting to actually go through the studying part, kind of suffering through it, in a way, so we can know what the experience is. I don't like it when the exam is close, but, on the long term, it's supposed to be better, so we can learn and see how things are going on. I think there is also different in the clinical years because I'm medical, but, I cannot give an insight on that yet because I'm still in MD2. This is basically the difference in education. I think she could provide a better, insight since, she studied.
She had an undergrad somewhere.
Yeah, but I'm my whole experience, in the undergrad is in Malta, right? And the experience here is more adapt or perish, in a way. And this is was something that we learned within the International School of Foundation. They helped us. They told us, how to study. They tutor us and for, the actual subject. But, you need to do your own work, right? You need to study. You need, to know. And the fascinating thing is every year is different. For example, the pre-foundation had, little focus on science, but it has science.
Yes.
But at the same time, it has more focus on English. The foundation years have more focus on science and English and, scientific or medical English. And then you need to balance between the two.
Yes.
And then you go to MD1 and it is all medical, all scientific, and you go like, okay, when do we have a break? And we don't. You just go on, that's why the international school actually prepared us for, these stuff. They do the English, they do the stuff, and then you go there and you understand what the material is coming to you. So that's actually, it was the education experience for me within the University of Malta, within the International School. Also, because she mentioned society, one of the things that, you know, helped me in the International School, we were not only secluded within our, you know, medical foundation program, and this, you know, we have, you know, research and reasoning classes. We had what's called debate classes, yes, and it's all with, you know, different streams. So that's a way of, you know, seeing how different streams react and, you know, have critical thinking and stuff like that. That was something that, you know, I learned in the 2 years in international school. Then you go to medical and everything is medicalized and, you know, you have to deal with it. Yes. That's basically it.
Schutze, I'm intrigued about something you were saying, that in China, where you were studying, the teachers will give you an assignment.
Yes.
And then they would plan with you.
Yes.
By planning, you mean they would plan, help you, or together you would plan together the assignment, or plan things to do to get to do your assignment. It's different to me. I need to understand that.
Well, so my personal experience is that the teacher will tell, the lecturers will tell us which resources you should approach. So some guidelines, which resources you should approach. And if you encounter this and that problem, who you can look in for help. And there will be a deadline that we have to submit it by the time. But normally he or she suggests us, you can prepare like a week or 3 days beforehand to see if you have problem. For example, sometimes if we complete an assignment, we don't know if we can receive 11 marks. Then we'll have chance to looking for help to pre-read or proofreading and to do some necessary amendments, and then to make sure that when we submitted our assignment, and
to a certain grade.
Yes, it's more worthwhile for us to submit it decent work compared with we just finish it and we fail it.
All right. So you would know in a way that before you submit it, you have reached a certain standard.
Yes, at least I caught up the main points which I should arrive of the standards.
Okay. So I understand now that it might have come to a shock for you, maybe here in submitting an assignment and getting it back, and you expect a different, I don't know, grading, and or maybe
over here it's more of a free for all. You get something, you have to do it, submit it, and you're quite not sure whether you did right or wrong, at least for the first few assignments.
For the first few, until you get used to it. Yes.
Yes. I remember most is that the first time when I finished one of my assignment, I forgot to attach my references, and this is a big mistake. So after the first time I have the experience and I talk with my classmates, my cohorts, I understand this is so necessary, and I should always check again, because no one will remind me, you forgot to attach your references.
I've done this mistake multiple times in my course. So, yeah.
Sorry, so it took you quite a while.
Right now, until now, we touched a bit on the good aspects when you came to Malta. Maybe we'll touch a bit on the less better aspects of when you came to Malta. Maybe what more could be done so you to feel more welcome by you, I mean international students in general, maybe even from your particular regions.
Okay, there is something I want to point out for, you know.
Don't attack us too much, eh, Walid?
Not yet. Okay.
Do, Walid, no. Do.
So, it's not, we were talking about assignment, right? This is, some, you know, experience I had with a friend of mine, okay? He submitted an assignment and it's supposed to be a reflective assignment, right? Mm-hmm. And then he sent it, and the whole year it was okay and fine. At the end of the year, he got his grade, and it was a failure mark. And then he was like, "How did I fail that? I know I wrote it good." And he had to do that, you know, go and ask for it. And they said, "You know, it's too good. We think you didn't do it." It's like,
oh.
No, we had, you know, the problem is, you know, we had, you know, the English experience, we had, you know, prepared for this, so if we had a certain language criteria to, you know, meet, we did it because we have the experience. But no, they said, no, we thought, you know, you might have copied it and you know, you have to do it again. Mm-hmm. And he did it again, but he dumbed it down so he can, you know.
Dumbed it down.
So he can, you know.
to dumb it down.
Huh? Yes, exactly. So he can.
For the lecturers, this is not something you hear quite often.
No, but because the actual essay was not for the lecturers, it was, you know, for a separate part of, you know, but it was, I think it's a, it was a seminar or something like that, right? It was a quite an interesting experience for someone to have. I mean, I have been through it, and it was, you know, I have got a good grade. For me, I was like, okay, am I stupid? Why did you get, you know, something like that? But at the same time, it was interesting to see something like that, just because you didn't accept and expect the international to reach the criteria, you know, that you have put, and go beyond it, right? So that's one of the experience. If you want to continue on the social aspect, which is, you know, the thing, another thing, okay. So since I came to Malta, I went through international school, and for the whole year, we had no, you know, connection with the social, with the social fabric of University of Malta. We're talking about campus life. We're talking about different associations.
And this was pre-COVID, right?
Pre-COVID,
the 2018,
yeah. Because the difference is we already have our own faculty. We already have, you know, our own people. And to be honest, we were one of the most active, present students within University of Malta, because library was our life. You don't understand. I live in MCD, right? And I have spent more time in the library and near the library vicinity, because it's closed early, than in my own apartment, okay? And it was, you know, that was my experience for the first 2 years. But yet, we still had, you know, some, we didn't actually meet a lot of Malta students. There, to be fair, there's not a lot of comments. We are in our own faculty, so that's a different, you know, thing.
Didn't help to bridge or get into the social fabric, as you said.
Yes. But, you know, the thing is, the second year, I applied to become the representative of, you know, the school itself. I have won the election, and I become representative, right? So from that point, I had the time to go to, you know, what's called the board meetings, right, for the school itself. I have met with pro-rectors, you know, from the directors from our own faculty, and we had the conversation, stuff like that. They told us, okay, we had the problem of the library, because we're thinking, you know, it need to open more, since, you know, we basically live there, and it's closed at 8 p.m. and we finish class at 5 p.m., right? We can't even eat if we want to spend time studying there. And then what happened is they told us that the past representative sent emails, no response. He became a spam. Okay, and then they told me, go to the KSU, and we're just like, what's the KSU? All right. What's the KSU? And they told us, you know, it's a student, so you go talk to them. All right. And then from there, I had to actively, you know more about the KSU myself. And at the same time, there was like a KE meeting. KEKS, is it the name?
Yes. And for those who know, these are meetings where representative of each faculty and organizations meet and to discuss whatever the issue might be.
So you are forced to get out of your bubble.
Yes. I was actively doing it myself, right? So when I got there, I think I talked to the president at the time, and he then directed me to the educational office for the KE meetings. When we went there, I went for the sixth meeting of the year. You know, I have missed five. That's, you know, much. And I'm just like, this is the sixth meeting, and I just know about it now? Okay, and then I went there, and they were looking, telling me, which faculty are you from? And I was like, international school. And it was there, and they told me, there was never, you know, anyone who came from there.
Indeed. Well, it was the worst.
It was, you know, a funny experience, because at the same time, I think I was the only international student there, right? And they had to switch from Maltese to English.
Yes. And, but now, thank God, maybe because of Walid, and maybe not, but there are more international students who are while participating. So yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I think
KSU, thank you for that.
See, already throwing shields in defensive mechanisms. Like, no. But that was the experience to actually go out to yourself to meet. And until now, I still meet with five-year students or fifth-year students and fourth-year students in medical field. They tell me, what are you going for? I'm just like, the case, and just, what is that? And then I'm just contacting with them. But I'm not talking about, so to be fair, I'm not talking only about the case, but, you know, the student activism within investment as a whole, right? But
was there a similar experience, Rutso, for you? Was there a period where you were kind of in your own bubble and then something happened and you were forced out?
Yes, I do have the similar experience.
Would you elaborate? Would you care to share it with us?
Yes, sure. So there's one experience of myself I feel is pushing me get out of the bubble is that when we do the group work, it's very, when I recall this memory, I still feel it's a very good experience for me. So I used to have group work in China with my classmates, and we do the same project together. And it happens a lot that some of my team members, because of any reason, he didn't appear or he didn't contribute to the work. But by the end of the day, we still will submit the work together, and we all can receive the pass mark. And here, I remember that once when I did a group work with other two of my cohorts. Everyone, so we plan beforehand who will take care of which part, and everyone has to contribute. No matter what happened, you have to contribute. So push you a bit. Don't count on others that you can receive a pass mark if you don't contribute anything, or if even you didn't even give ideas. So I think this is a good experience, because even you feel difficulty, like myself, I have difficulty when I do the group work, and my cohorts always keep giving me advice. Instead of writing for me, he give me advice, and I have to do it myself. So to be more independent and to keep my own ideas, instead of, okay, you're all right, I take all your ideas, but I have to keep my own, to insist on my own ideas. I think this is what I like.
Encourages you to work more.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Now we shall pass to our first musical interval. We shall be listening to Rice Fields by Zhe Shao, suggested here by Shetsu herself. Zhao is an influential singer for people born in the 80s and 90s in China. His songs are full of family, friendship, love, thoughts, and thoughts about life. The song is actually called Rice Field, and it encourages young people not to be afraid of failure or frustration, not to give up easily, and to remember their dreams, be flexible, content, and cherish everything we have. And it's also a reminder that you have to make your own life colorful and beautiful, and remember there will always be home and family back at your house.
Shutsi, you suggested this song. Why?
So, as a foreign student, I live and study abroad. I feel homesick from time to time, and when I miss my families or I have difficulties in life, when I switch on the radio or I switch on the song, I feel peaceful. I hope and our audience can also enjoy this song.
Yes, it's fun. Rice Fields for you.
Oh,
Was lovely, I should say. I really enjoyed it.
I'm happy you like it.
In this second part now, we'll get into the tradition part, the traditions, the culture, and the beliefs, the your baggage, your cultural baggage and background you are bringing here to the table. So let's start with that. Do you when you think about the place you come from, so from Kuwait, from Wuhan region, what things did you bring with you in terms of a culture, of cultural baggage? Now, let's start with you, Shutsi.
So for me, I have a deep love of our own culture and the food. First of all, the food.
Definitely.
Yes.
Everyone loves the food.
Always the food. We can see that. I'm speaking for myself.
Yes, and I'm so happy that there are some Asian food stores in Marta, and I can visit them often and cook my own dishes, not only for myself, but also for my friends I encountered in Marta. And also, and there's something else, for example, there's some... I think it's deeply rooted in our behavior. For example, when we are in the classroom or in the office, we always try to keep quiet, keep self-disciplined, try not to bring trouble to others. Even sometimes, I think this is my own personal experience. I don't know if it happens to other of our Chinese communities in Marta. Even sometimes I have some problem or some question. I want to look in for help, but I feel shy to ask others, especially when others are busy with their own things. I feel shy to ask for help. And I feel these two, three years, I improved a lot of asking help when I have something I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when I saw something I don't understand, I feel shy to ask why and how comes. And I don't want others to see me as a stupid. So now I get used to that. If you see me stupid, it's okay. I'm from a foreign culture. I don't know this. This is normal. And the other thing I think I brought with me is the lifestyle here. So like most of the times we spend time, I prefer to spend time with families. And I remember 10 years ago, I really like places like Pottery. I liked a lot, something like that. And nowadays, when it comes to weekend, I prefer more to go with my families to the forest. There are forests in Marta. Yes, there are.
Small.
With my friend, there are forests. Go hiking and to spend time with families and to read and at home and keep quiet. I like quiet lifestyle now. And well, my friends, some of them, they're still party animals, but I don't mind. So it's basically like that.
What about you, Walid?
First of all, I want to add on her, because the funny thing, when I came here from, you know, coming into the campus FM, I have met with a Chinese student who was, you know, he was in pre-foundation, I was in foundation, and I didn't see him for a whole year because of the COVID situation. And it was fortunate that I met him today, and he talked to me, his English has improved, and I can see that, you know, the day we wrote it up, you know, not asking, but he did try to ask, and we were there for him at some point, and, you know, even the international school was there for him, but, you know, I understand what she meant by, you know, they're deeply respectful, they, you know, they have, you know, they don't ask until, you know, you push them to ask and stuff like that. It is something, you know, I noticed, and it's a good thing that she pointed out. Okay. Regarding, you know, traditions and the cultural baggage, the way I think about it is not, something that we can, you know, leave behind. It's something rooted in us, just like, you know, our skins. It is, you know, it is us, it is, you know, something we have. But what happened is the challenges for these, you know, culture, because, you know, for this, you know, culture of baggage, not all of it is, you know, the same as in Malta. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to, you know, go on a scholarship outside of, you know, Kuwait, and an Arabic country, because I had, you know, think a chance to have to go there. But, you know, I wanted to go into, you know, I wanted to go to, you know, a different lifestyle, different, you know, life, and somehow I end up here. Okay, and, you know, regarding culture, regarding traditions, we do practice them in some way or another, but the thing that we are most known about is adaptation, right? We need to adapt to the culture, we need to know, you know, what to do here and how we can do it, but at the same time, we do not forget who we are and where we come from. And it is, you know, an integral part, because when talking about, you know, integration and inclusion, they talk about cultural assimilation. I'm just like, no, we have our own identity, and we are different in our identity, even between the same country, even between the same regions. And for example, I'm Kuwaiti, and there is, you know, there was a lot of my colleagues are Omanis, for example.
Yes.
We are very near, you know, and we are, you know, similar in a lot of things. But still, we all have our different traditional culture.
Yes.
And even one of the things, okay, that we have as our tradition, we have, you know, I have talked about this, the National Day of Kuwait. Each year we have a party that is made by the embassy itself. It's a well-respected, you know, party. And it is usually happen in a hotel, right? And there is, you know, I think even the president of Malta came there. And this is one of the things, you know, they do make us feel like home, but at the same time, there is food. And we always go
there. It sounds like a really good fight, to be fair. If you ever do have a plus one or a guest.
It's already full. I have plus three now. The food is really interesting. I mean, we don't usually have, you know, that much time to make the food itself. But at the same time, some people learn to do it themselves, and, you know, and do it. They do not perfect it, or maybe they do, but we are just judgy. But you know, it's happened.
That's when you celebrate it here in Malta. I understand Kuwaiti Day, right?
Yes. Not last year because COVID. The year before that, we have the National Kuwaitian Campus, the Kuwaiti National Day and Campus, and it was organized by the Kuwaiti Student Association, which is another part I forgot to mention. Is, you know, as a communities within the University of Malta, different nationalities have different national-based associations. So, for example, there's the Kuwaiti Student Association, there is the Omani Student Association, and, you know, and so on and so forth. But these are the two, you know, that I'm more associated with, because, you know, they're my friends and I know them. And they come up once a year. They do, you know, a national day celebration. I think not last year, the year before that, the Omani did, you know, a whole show in the, in, you know, in university, and it was really nice to see the different culture. They have a play. They have something really funny planned out, and it is something great to see. At the same time, we have the Kuwaiti Cultural Day. Kuwaiti National Day, and we had, you know, a whole tent outside of in the quad, and there was like, how can I say, there's little stands, and everyone has, you know, information about Kuwait, picture of Kuwait, and stuff like that. This is one of the parts that make us feel at home, that we have, you know, the student communities themselves, rather than, you know, from someone from above to tell us, okay, you need to appreciate your tradition, but no, it is the student themselves who actually do it, right? So it's funny.
I understand that in the spirit of inclusion, there would be also other students from other countries participating in your days you organize, right?
Yes, I mean, in the national Kuwaiti days, the one who organized it was the Kuwaitis, but the one who enjoyed it actually was, you know, all the students. I remember even in that day, they came to the tent. They have, you know, to go in a circle, okay, and everyone has a stand, and they have the Jenga. And they could take one, and it has a question in it, right, about Kuwait. And there's three options. They don't know what the answer is, obviously, but we know, we point out, maybe this one. Who knows?
Maybe.
And they say, this one? I'm just like, yeah. And then we give them, you know, a cookie or something. Okay. And it is really interesting to see if there is a national day, there's something they can, you know, participate. And they do participate. And we enjoy making these, you know, and thankfully, because we have, you know, the actual association and communities that is, you know, separated from the association itself, just the communities, you can, you know, appreciate it.
For our listeners to understand better, would you elaborate a little bit more to explain what the National Kuwait Day represents? And I believe you have also another important celebration, Liberation Day.
Yeah, so we have the 25th of February as the National Kuwaiti Day, and the 26th of February is the Kuwait Liberation Day.
So they're after each other.
Okay.
These days are separated because, you know, in 1990, we have, you know, the invasion, and then in 1991 we have the liberation after 6 months. So we celebrate that, the liberation. Also, the National Day is the day we got the Constitution written. So that's the National Day, then, you know, then you have liberation after it, which is, you know, when we get liberated. From the invasion, and, you know, these days we celebrated, and, you know, each year there is a different celebration in Kuwait and in Malta. In Kuwait it's more, you know, everywhere, you can see it, and we have also, you know, something that's called, you know, that's the car march, but in Malta it is more local. Maybe we have a video. I made a video about it, and, you know, we made a video about it, and, you know, and the second time we have the tent, and this is, you know, our experience. The third time it was COVID, so we didn't do much.
Shutsi,
yes.
What celebrations or traditions or events do you maybe miss most?
Oh, Chinese New Year.
That was the one that came to mind, because I know you have a different year from us.
Yes.
Second, your year starts later than ours, right?
Yes.
It's in 1st of February, right?
It's depending on the moon. Every year is different. Okay. We counted by lunar calendar. So this year it will be in February. Last year is in February as well. And normally it's like Christmas. You stay with families and three or four generations stay together in the same house and you celebrate. And we will have a big show organized by all the top artists, and everyone of Chinese all over the world can enjoy the show by the same day, same time.
Okay. So you're a bit lucky because you get to celebrate our New Year's and your New Year's as well.
Yes, I feel so.
So apart from this big, huge concert, what else marks the new day, New Year celebrations? What's the run-up to the day?
Well, so for younger people, the good thing is that every younger people, he or she will receive a red envelope. Well, it's cash, and he can save the money for himself, and he will receive, the child will receive this red envelope from everyone from the family, so he will be rich during that day.
We should include this more.
It's always the money.
When I grew up, when I was growing up, we would have a day which was called Destrina.
And
where I come from, Zaytun, we would get Destrina for New Year. So Nana, Nanno, and sometimes even the uncles and aunties would give something to the child in terms of money, small things.
I think, unfortunately, by the time I started growing up, I think that stopped, unfortunately.
tradition.
I would have laughed to receive those envelopes.
For us, I think we have something similar. It's the Eid, for Muslims. Usually celebrated twice, one after Ramadan, which is the year we fast from sunrise to sunset, and, you know, one in, you know, it's called Eid al-Adha, it's after the pilgrimage. Okay. The funny part is, you know, at the Eid, we have, you know, it's a tradition for older people to give, you know, the children and, you know, money. So it is also two times of year when we get rich, you know.
and spend them
on something. the funny thing is, it's not really written when are you too old about it. So you have to fight for it. I'm a university student, but I don't have my own money. So it is interesting to see that across cultures this exists, right?
Yeah. After listening to this Kuwaiti slight of tradition, we shall now go to our second song, which was also suggested by Waleed here. It's a short Kuwaiti song, to the name of, it can be translated to Kuwaiti Can't Be Forgotten, right?
Yes,
it's by Hussan Al-Jazmi, and it's aimed at Kuwaiti students. Maybe you can elaborate slightly about it before we listen to it?
All right, so basically, I chose this song because the same reason she chose her song, which is homesickness. All right. Mm-hmm. The thing is, this song was a message from, you know, the Kuwaiti community, from, you know, families and mothers and you know, people back in Kuwait, that tells them that you're not forgotten. You can't be forgotten. It's not only not, you're mm-hmm. not, but can't. Mm-hmm. And also, it is, you know, a reminder that, you know, at the end of, you know, end of things, that you're still close to us. We are still here, and you know, you're still important. No matter where you are, and what you're doing, you're still part of us, and you know, our son mm-hmm. or our daughter.
Nice so, message indeed. Yeah. Let's listen to it.
لك تحيات وسلام يلي تظن ان انتهي لوحدك غريب في ناس وصوني يوصل لك كلام قالوا لي انك دوم في البال وقريب ببدي معاك بديرتك تقول لك مشتاقه لك ودها تشوفك من زمان لا لحظه ودها تحضنك وتقول لك مشتاقه لك ما بت لا ولا بتغيب دايما تقريب وانت تفناها والفنا في القلب راح لو رحت عنها انت سنين تبقى وسط العين لو مهما تبعد تبقى للاقرب لانك انت كويتي حبيبي انت ولادي لانك انت كويتي ما تنسي ما تنسي حبيبي انت ولادي لأنك أنت كويتي ما تنسي ما تنسي حبيبي أنت ولادي كويتي أنت كويتي حبيبي أنت ولادي لأنك أنت كويتي
and كويتي.
That was Kuwaiti Can't Be Forgotten. After listening a bit about your traditions, maybe I can ask you, do you think that the local community, both the Maltese one and even the local campus one, appreciates your traditions or maybe is involved? I don't know. Walid, what do you think?
Okay, you got your gut, but you know...
You said before that you have organized a number of activities, of events. Mm-hmm. Were they attended by the students? What was the feedback of your celebration?
The event that I organized was targeted for international students because we were focusing on building the international community itself, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. We had feedback from, you know, Maltese students. But at the same time, at that time, we're focusing on, you know, building the community so we can represent them. We cannot, you know, be a voice of something that, you know, you don't talk to, right? Mm-hmm. I had spent a whole year talking to them, you know, communicating with them, seeing their issues, like, for example, cannot pronounce their surnames, mm-hmm. which is, you know, simple, and it goes goes to the bigger thing, like, mm-hmm. You know, going home to a dark room or a dark apartment, which is mm-hmm. The other side of things. But I think she can gives a better, you know.
Should see.
What about you, should see?
So for me, most people I met in Malta, they have interest in Chinese culture. So they ask me questions about how is the life in China and how is the culture differences. And every time when I explain the differences and my feeling, I feel they have smiles on their face. So I think this is kind of interest and welcome. So that's good, I think.
We're approaching the end, unfortunately, slowly. So if you had to give some advice, having lived it now, or you're still living it, to university and to other people around
you. Suggestions.
Suggestions of how things could be done better, in a way, to welcome people from your country, should see. What would you advise?
So for me, I think, I'm thinking, I hope I can see more Chinese students on the campus and in Malta. And I do also hope other Chinese students can be more open and don't be afraid with talking with people and sharing their experience. And when they have problems or they have questions, don't be afraid for asking for help. So that's what I thought.
And to the other, all right, and to the Maltese, what would you say?
So my personal experience that I didn't really encounter the racist in Malta, and most people are very friendly. I'm thinking if there's some activities about Chinese culture and like some organizations organize this kind of activity, if local residents can participate and enjoy it, that would be great.
I'm sure. And what about you, Walid?
I will not talk only about Kuwait, but about the international in general. So what I think is happening, the University of Malta is diverse. And, you know, even throughout this whole talk, you can see the differences between me and her on how, you know, there's different culture and tradition. And this is the beauty of the international community. Mm-hmm. We are diverse. We are, you know, even though we call ourselves a community, but each one of us, you know, are their own individual. They have their own background. They have their own, you know, interests and, you know, cultural baggage. We do have the diversity, but we should socially we should look at inclusion too. Mm-hmm. When we talk about inclusion and diversity, the difference when you say diversity, we say the what. Mm-hmm. What makes, you know, the community, and we can say, okay, it makes Kuwaitis, Omani, Chinese, and stuff like that. But when you talk about inclusion, we can say ask how we include them, how we know appreciate the differences.
Yes,
you know how we appreciate their, you know. They're different, but they're going through the same experience of, you know, leaving the country, being alone, trying to find somewhere they belong, and then included within the Maltese community themselves. And then we can think about it as, you know, it's a whole community, right? Mm-hmm. The whole, you know, university is a whole community within the international community, but we don't want to seclude it in a one part of or on one, you know, corner. We want to have it, you know, together with, you know, within the Maltese community. And that could happen with representation, with, you know, with actual, you know, event that targets the differences between them. So this is one way of doing it. I'm sure throughout this year and, you know, the whole year, there's different things that can be done. Mm-hmm. But this is basically my take on the social life.
Thank you. Thank you both for being here with us. Thank you for sharing
you.
Your experiences and your traditions. I hope it was an enjoyable experience.
Yes,
it was.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mela, see you. We'll be back with you with another program next week. Thanks for listening. And this was Mosaic. We'll be right back.